So I do want to talk about last time. Last time we talked about this word, submit, right? Anyone remembers what it means? That's okay, because it was a month ago. I forget. No, it's to send. The word, the root word is to send. And then you got the first part of it right here, under. Helps if I can spell, right? So we're to be under, to send. So that was the first word I wanted to kind of remember inside of her, because this is part of a series that I'm kind of putting together. Today's word. So that was submit. And actually, I'll leave that up there. The next one I'll put under here is serve. And I want to make this blatant statement, and then everything I think of on this, you cannot serve unless you submit. You can't. Everything I've thought of, and this is even for lost people, they serve themselves, but they have to submit to their sin. They have to submit to whatever they want to do in their life. We choose to submit to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We submit to our Lord and Savior, and then we're also called to serve Him. And we see this in the Bible throughout here. You know, we go back into Adam. You know, Bob just mentioned it right before we prayed, is that we are to serve. But it's not just to serve by ourselves. It's to serve together for the common of the Lord. Adam was the first example of that. So I want to talk about the serve here. So it's a word study. I always like, Bob actually used to want to invest in me and says, hey, do word studies. That gets the process going. Hey, what does this word mean? What does this actually mean for me as a believer? What does it mean as I go through and read my Bible? So then the one right here, so there is a definition here. And this is two parts of this word to this. There is the noun part of it. I don't like a word that defines a word. So the word servant being the word serve, kind of counter-accurate right here. But they have a word or in there, and it says slave. A lot of people think slavery in a bad sense right there. And it is bad because there's been bad stewards of the slaves that have whipped them, they've beaten them, they've taken total advantage of that. And there's also the servant aspect of that. And it's a key word from servo. And it's, you know, there's a lot of different noun versions of that. We're going to focus on the verb because it's an action. You know, submit is an action. It's something you have to do. Serve is a word right here. It's a verb as well. And I want to kind of go over that. And these kind of words, instead of to be a servant or slave, I mean, that is historically, that's accurate, to be a servant or to serve. Slaves serve their masters, serve their masters. I'm excited for so that is part of that, to be a part of that. Be employed in labor or business or another, that's all of us. All of us have to make a living inside of it. We live in a capitalist society. We have bosses. Now, Bob's, I'm going to use Bob as a great example because he's self-employed. But his customers are his bosses. As he serves them and provides a service for them, he's piling their houses or their businesses, he has to do it to their standards. So he has to serve them on his side. I have a job. I have to give an account to my bosses, my supervisors. I also have to give an account to my customers because it's a service-based business. When I help them out, I have to be able to give them an accountability. Another one is to be in subjection. That's a hard one, to say, hey, yes, Lord, you're in charge, or yes, you are the boss. Or, yes, even though you disagree with them, you still have to be in subjection. So as I teach and as I go through HBI, I have to be in subjection to all the different pastors that are teaching in HBI. And not only that, I have to be in subjection to Pastor Brian and Pastor Randy because of Pastor Brian being the senior pastor and being the one that is the one that's the pastor over the AV ministry. When I teach in the youth, I have to be in subjection to Luke. Now, I'm 15 years older than Luke Fleshman, but I still have to submit to him and be in subjection in order to serve inside the high school. I have to follow his lead on everything like that. Yeah. There it is. Bobby, can I borrow your walker, please? You know, and here's the other one. Here, this one I always thought was kind of cool. To wait. To serve, you have to wait. You know, in an act of patience and wait to what they need. And so you can provide that. And then you can attend to their duties inside of there. I like this one, too. To answer, to accomplish the end. you know, as we serve our Lord and Jesus, there it is. We are to, you go out and teach all nations. It is right there. Accomplished to the end. I'm inside of there. To be sufficient for a purpose. As I serve, I want to do the best I can as I do my ministry. And I think everyone else does that as well. We don't want to just kind of skate by, though sometimes we do. But we want to do the best that we can inside of here for a purpose. You don't want to be one of those guys inside there. So those are just some of the definitions with the word serve inside of here. I just like that. And here's the last one I'll use. To officiate or minister, to do honor of. That's what you do when you serve. You're bringing honor to the person that you're serving inside there by giving willingly right there for them to provide that service. So I thought that was kind of a cool little study right there. But again, you cannot serve unless you submit. There is a direct relation. There's nothing in there. And again, everything points to the Bible. We have biblical examples, but even to the people that are lost in the world, they submit to their sins. They submit to their fleshly desires as they go through there. And so they're serving themselves inside there. And it's a vicious cycle that is hard to break inside there. So as we talk to people that are lost, we have to have that understanding inside of there with it. So I thought that was kind of a cool word to go through here. Another thing that I was always taught is when the word is in the Bible multiple times, you need to pay attention to it. So a great example of that, go ahead and bring it up. It is in here 209 times in our Bible. I would say serving is very important. Wouldn't you guys agree with me on that? So the first one inside of here, and it always goes back to when we talk about a word in a Bible, first mention and last mentions. So it starts out in the beginning of the Bible in Genesis 15:13. You know, and the Lord's talking to the Lord's talking to Abram, not Abraham, but in Genesis 15:13, he said unto Abram, "Know of a surety that thy seed shall be stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them." So we've heard of the term Abrahamic covenant. If you haven't heard about that, if we go back and look at it in Genesis 12, God made a promise to Abram before he became Abraham that he would make him a mighty nation, there'd be a great people, and they would have a great land. And I think there's one other part I'm missing on that, but there is four parts of that covenant inside of there. What God's doing here in Genesis 15:13 is reassuring him, hey, you're still going to have this promise I'm going to give to you, but you are going to have to go through some tribulations right here. And there always is tribulations as we serve. You know, sometimes you have a bad leader, you know, who's over in charge of the job. I've had bad managers, and you don't want to do a good job serving under them. It's really tough. Inside of that, and that's just been my personal experience, but I can say that everyone else has probably had a bad manager at one time or another. Wouldn't you guys agree? Mm-hmm. So it's hard to serve to your heart, you know, to the fullest of your ability inside of here. So we are going to have some trials and tribulations, but the one I like the most, or towards the end there, and it's, again, we started out in the beginning of the Bible in Genesis, we'll finish up in Revelations with the word serve. Come on, it's right here. And it's in Revelations 22:3. So we're at the end of the Bible. So we were at the beginning and everything inside of here as well. And in Revelation 22:3, it says, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." So there's our fulfillment there. We are to serve inside of there. If you're not, there's going to be an eternity in a lake of fire. So we do need to serve inside there. But the one verse I want to go into and I want to key in inside of here is, I'm going to go back into John. Search my Bible here. And we're going to John 21. And I think you guys probably know where I'm going to go with this one. I should have brought a paper Bible. But I had all my notes on my iPad. All right, there it is. John 21. Yes, we'll go to John 21. Actually, Diana, can I have that paper Bible? Did you have one? that your Bible?
No. It belongs in here.
Oh, well, it just went right there. I'm sorry, guys.
Okay.
All right, so I got the most of my notes out of there, so that's the good thing right there. So we're going to come down through inside of here. So what's going on in the story in here is Jesus has already died. He was buried and he rose again. And this is towards the end of it, where the people, the apostles are lost. And we see Peter, and I can relate to Peter, you know, back to doing what, you know, which is fishing, and he's fishing naked out there too. So we'll see that, inside of here. And then we'll start here, in verse 4 and 21, and we'll go through to, we'll go through verse 17. So I'm going here. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of the fishes. And therefore the disciples whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. And now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. So that's where I get the naked fishing right there, out there. And he did cast himself into the sea. So Peter was so happy to see the Lord that he just said, Forget about it, I'm going. And he jumped in. But we know that with Peter. Peter is brash. You know, that's what I love about Peter myself, inside there, because I react instead of thinking things through sometimes. I don't think he did. I think he was just used to being what he wanted to do, from what I've studied with Peter, and he was just going to do what Peter wanted to do. But God uses him to say, nope, slow down, think.
I think that's what I would do too, act, and then think. I should have thought about this first.
Yeah, see, I was always very hesitant because I was afraid of making that wrong step.
Right.
One of those that didn't get much done in life.
No, you'd be surprised what you got done. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they're not far from the land, but it was 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fishes. Here's the other problem. Peter abandoned ship, left his other guys to handle everything. Well, you know what?
He
was, you know, he's like, I'm inside there. And then as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and the fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus saith unto them, Bring the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And Jesus said unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask them, Who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? That's incredible. They just knew it was Jesus. And Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples, and after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than thee? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. And he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this wonderful day you've given us, Lord. And we have many people that we're missed of right now, and people are grieving, Lord. But we lift them up to you, Lord, and just knowing that you're the great comforter as we go through here. And again, Lord, thank you for the preserved word that you've given to us so we can see what you want us to do in our lives. We do this in your great and holy name. Amen. So this is that one. So I had to get the story in there. They were out and about in the boat, and they were going through and just doing what they knew what to do because they didn't know what else to do. And then Jesus shows up. And once they realized it was Jesus, they ran to him. And you can see that Jesus took care of them. That's the coolest thing. Jesus took care of them because they weren't catching any fish. They tell them to throw the net off to the right side. Next thing you know, they can't haul the fish into the boat. All they can do is drag the boat and get it to the shore and then drag the fish on the beach because there were so many of them. I think it's kind of cool. You see that Peter went down and grabbed all the fish in the net and pulled it on. You know, you see that little act right there. But the one thing I want to talk about is in the first one where he says, inside of there, you know, he asks, you know, Jesus, you know, saith unto Simon Peter, lovest thou me more than these? And he's, yea, Lord. And the Lord commands him, says, feed my lambs. You know, that's an action as well. It's a commandment. Remember, Jesus is our master. He is our Savior. He told us to do something. He said, feed my lambs. Peter kind of forgot that he was to serve. He was out serving himself out there at the boat because he didn't know what else to do. So he was told, feed my lambs. And then the next one we see down in verse 16, you know, we go through the same questioning again. He goes, yea, Lord, you know I love thee. He says, feed my sheep. So we are to feed the lambs, the people who do not know. We think of the lambs, we think of the little kids, you know, we think of the toddlers, we think of, you know, the ones getting in kindergarten and preschool, you know, we think of all those kids over in the children's wing. But now we also see that we have the sheep as well. So we're also to feed the adults. And that's where the ABFs come into play here too. You guys are here to get fed. So we see this as an example to serve in this capacity. You are to feed the sheep. And then we see it again, and this is the one thing that really struck me. It goes back to after Jesus was getting arrested, and Jesus was told Peter that he was going to deny him three times. It takes three times for Peter to take on something. If you notice, he has a habit of just, no, that's not true. But it takes some coaching. It takes three instances of that. You know, when Peter denied him on the thrice time, he broke down.
And just like feed my sheep, it's three times in here.
Yes, it's to serve. Exactly. That's where I was going with that. Is it took the third time. No, that's the thing. That's the great thing about the Bible is it comes alive. It's what I call the gears are grinding. We got the smoke coming out of your ears because it's working overtime, Diana. So I'm picking on you. But no, it's a great thing because that's what we want. We want to have the application. We want to know how does this relate to us in our lives. And we want to have that relationship so we can apply it. And that's what we have going on here. And you can even see here in verse 17, it grieved him. Peter remembers when he denied the Lord three times. And then when the Lord asked him three times, It sunk in. That's that aha moment in Peter's life. It's like, okay. And it says, feed the sheep. Feed my sheep. So we have the commandment there. We are to go serve right there. So now Peter has his mission. He understands what his mission is in more detail. He's to get up and he's to feed. Okay, here's the one part that's a little bit of a challenge is, okay, it says feed my sheep. We're Baptists. We're a Baptist church. We like food. Yeah. I like food. We're having a chili cook-off in a few weeks. We like food. But we're not just to physically feed. You know, Dave Branham and Sonia Ferguson, you know, they've in Sue Sloggenbush and some of the other ladies over the years, you know, we have the vision conference coming up. We have the Bible conference. We're physically feeding so we can keep the troops going right there so they can have the energy to continue on with the mission here. But we also got to feed spiritually. So if we jump over to Matthew 28:19, you guys know this one. I always come back to it because it's everything right there. It's the Great Commission. You know, it says in verse 19, Matthew 28, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. We're to go. So that's an action as part of our service. We are to go and teach. Not just this person over here, this person. It says all. So we can't just say, hey, I don't want to teach over here or I don't want to teach over there. We're to teach everywhere and we're to teach to all. Now, it's a little bit easier for us to come back and look at this and say, hey, I can teach over, I do a little bit better dealing with Sunbeams than I do with the youth or the high school. But you know what? It doesn't matter. I'm still to go teach all. Going into the jail, that was always, that's tough. To go in there and share with someone knowing that you know what their crimes are. But you still got to love God enough and love people to go through and share the gospel. And hopefully they can make a change in their lives. But we have, you know what? Because of the jail ministry, we have people in this building that were residents in Cass County wearing their orange jumpsuits that are still here today serving. So there's still hope inside of here. So we are to go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I like this word baptizing because we could take it literally. We are to go up and make sure people are baptized. When people do that, it's the public confession. That's when they're saying, I am a believer of Jesus Christ inside of there. Now, we want people to be led to baptism, but I like the part of that baptism is we're to immerse them. You know, that's what baptism is. We immerse them. You know, we show them in the death, burial, and the resurrection. We're also to immerse them into the Word of God. That's why we teach in all nations. We're immersing them in the Word of God, in the Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. And in teaching them to observe all things, not some things, but all things, that whatsoever I have commanded, which we have written inside of here. So we have the Ten Commandments, and then you have the other Jewish laws, the 616 different laws that they think would make them sanctified. We have all these different rules inside of it. Even though some of them don't apply to us today, it applies to some others. And I'm always with you, always. Always until the end of the world. So once you accept this mission, once you admit that you want to serve, once you submit to serving, God's going to be with you until the end. That's reassuring. You know, that's why I get up on Sunday morning. Some mornings, I'll be honest, today was one of them. I had very little sleep because I knew there were some technical issues last night with the AV equipment. And I'm tossing and turning. You know, I have to pray to go through and say, Lord, I can't do this. I need some sleep. And He'll give you that rest. Come in here, Diana, and testify. We know that we're having issues. And next you know, it's this click, 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 pick, pick, boom. We're good. And that's how God works. And so we have to trust in God to know that He's going to be in the end. Because He does want His Word to come out there. Yes, Sarah.
A little testimony. When we were doing Clearly His with Sharon Volkin, we struggled with every practice. Right up until the day before our performance. And we would go home, and her big thing was pray, pray, pray. You do your part, but pray, pray, pray. And the day of our performance, then God always showed up.
Yes.
And people were always blessed. And mistakes that we were making on a regular basis, we weren't making them anymore. And Randy even got to witness this. When he stepped in to start helping, he's like, you guys, I'm really worried. And I said, Randy, watch and see what God does. And the next day he comes back, he's like, you're right. You guys work hard, but then obviously you can't do it.
Right.
But God does it because it's for Him. It's for His
glory. Right. And like I said, I go back and forth on this. So we have a mixture of computers up in the sound booth. We have Macs and we have Windows-based computers. And they're not communicating, and we don't want them to communicate because they won't communicate. But we use them. This one, we have one computer set up this way. We have this one computer does this. We have this one. We don't let them do all one thing because if everything went down, we lose everything all at once. And so we have five different computers, I think, we have up there running. Five, including the soundboard, is actually five different computers doing each little bit of different part of the service. So if something goes down, it doesn't affect the other part of it inside there. So that's the cool thing about that. But there's been Sundays up until, you know, countdown starts, nothing's working, and we have to stop. And we have to stop right there and go, Lord, I'm done. I don't know what else to do, Lord. I can't. And then, restart the computer and everything just works fine. It's always that simple. If just stopping and just turning it over to the Lord. One part of this that I want to come back into, and I read this morning, I thought this applied, and this is over in James 1:22. And I kind of read this morning. And it's like, man, that just applied here as well. So God's always revealing himself as we go through, as we serve him. But this is part of being a servant. You know, right here it says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. That's like, you know what? We're to serve. We're to do what we're sent here. So I can sit back here and say that. I say the Newlands are doers. They will jump over and deal with my kid over in the little, you know, over in the children's ministry or kids, you know, so they're doing. Diana's up in the sound booth. She is doing. She is serving up there. And it just gives me inside of here. The Bickets were at the doors greeting today. You know, we got to get them ready to go. Bob and Carrie, they're doing a lot. You know, Bob's teaching HBI. Bob's pastoring. And he also has Word First and a business to run. You know, I'm like, Bob, I don't know how much time do we have, but we just go, right? We're just doing. And Bobby's over here. She's in here just as early as the AV and the praise team, making sure we have coffee ready to go. She's over here serving and doing inside of here. So I just go inside there. Just be doers of the word. I just can't get over that enough. And one thing that I always come back to, and I know you guys are probably familiar with this one, but you guys know this acronym. You also know inside of here. So as we serve right here, we have Jesus. We have to put Jesus first, right? Otherwise, if we don't put Jesus first, we're not serving Jesus. So we need to put Jesus first. And as we serve, we have to put others next. So we have a priority list inside of us. So we have our Jesus to serve. We have to serve others. And then lastly, you can put yourself. I always liked that. I always thought it was kind of cheesy when I first heard that. When we talk about acronyms in the Bible, you know, I'll tell you, one of the great saints that gives me acronyms all the time is, Don Allen. Don Allen just could pull out you could write a book on Bible acronyms. And when I first heard that, I was like, that's kind of cheesy. But you know what? That was me being young in the Lord. That's me not knowing and observing this. You got to have joy as you serve inside of here. So it's kind of, joy comes in to serve, but you can't serve unless you submit. So we got this relationship inside of here. So as we submit, we got to have joy. And as we serve, we got to have that joy. So it's becoming together as we work through this that we need to submit, you know, and then we can serve, and then we got to serve with joy. We got to submit with joy. That's the hard part as we go through and do this. And that's been at least my experience, to admit that I'm a sinner, you know, that I do need Jesus Christ inside there. And then I have to pray for, you know, the ABCs, you know, and Baba always taught me this as well. So we kind of go through the ABCs. We got to admit we're a sinner. We got to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and he died on the cross and rose on the third day. And then C, we got to confess it. So all these things come back to submitting and serving with joy. And that's my message for today. All right. And like I said, I got it done a little bit early. Bobby, you need anything else? Okay.
No, that was really good.
I think it's my pleasure.